The New York Giants select Odell Beckham, wide receiver, LSU. With the second pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Saquon Barkley, running back, Penn State. The New York Giants select Daniel Jones, quarterback, Duke.
With the fourth pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Andrew Thomas, tackle, Georgia.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG, every once in a while, Ethan and Weiss back with you once again for our pre-draft episode. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do. We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe, or everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Weiss, we are back. And it is the most glorious time of the NFL offseason. We are, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, which you should be, we are 24 hours away, probably 36 hours away. I don't know. I'm not going to do the math in my head. Away from the NFL draft. Super exciting time. The Giants picking 11th will very likely, it's going to be very hard to fuck this up. We'll get a very good player. And outside of that, it's just a fun time. I think over the last 2 weeks, you know, some people put out mock drafts and they put out articles and there are a lot of reports that come out that make you roll your eyes and you say, oh, you know what, we need the draft today because some of these are getting ridiculous. But it's all part of the game. It's all a lot of fun, and I think we'd rather be sifting through those than sifting through nothing at all. So let's get into it. I think the plan for this episode, Weiss, is to do a 32-team mock draft. We're going to go through the whole first round. We'll do a bit of a speed round. I want to talk gambling because I am a degenerate, and I'm looking at my spreadsheet. Yes, I have a spreadsheet because I have so many goddamn picks, and they're spread out over a bunch of different books. I have 50 picks, and we're still
a day away. You did your homework.
I like to think I did my homework, but again, like a lot of these are, like my first pick on the sheet was Justin Fields, third overall, which I placed on April 7th, which at the time had very good value. I wound up buying out of that for a Trey Lance ticket, but I digress. We will discuss all those picks later.
Well, I took a new approach this year. Okay. I completely ignored everything for March, and I really got into it by like 2 weeks ago.
Probably smart.
Because I don't want to change my opinion, you know, going back and forth. So the longer this thing drags out, the more opinion, more time, more opportunity to get to change your opinion. So
yes, and a big thing that I've learned over the last week is, and I just fall into this trap every single year. You have to look at the draft through the lens of what a team is going to do, not what you think they should do.
Right.
Now, sometimes those two things align, like what I think should happen with the fourth overall pick, which we'll discuss in our mock. And unlike what is likely to happen for the third overall pick, which we will also discuss. So let's just start it. Weiss and I will each pull up the Pro Football Network mock draft simulator.
So you'll do your mock, I'll do my mock, and then we'll release them both with the episode tomorrow.
Correct. So how do I? I'm going to select all teams. We'll do one round normal speed. Okay. All right. So who wants to start?
Number one, Trevor Lawrence. I think we both agree on that one, right?
We do both agree on that one.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Number two, Jets.
Zach Wilson.
They're taking that. Okay. That's their guy. They traded Sam Darnold. Zach Wilson's a quarterback. All right.
Yes. Number three. Here's where things get interesting.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So from the jump, since this trade was made, which was crazy when I heard it, because I did not think San Francisco would do something like this with the roster that they have, but
yep.
I always thought that they should consider moving on from Jimmy G, and they flirted with Tom Brady a little bit when he was a free agent. But I was surprised. What surprised me even more was the quarterback that immediately got linked to them, which was Mac Jones. And I want to say for the record, I didn't do a lot of homework on these quarterbacks because
there's no need.
Yeah, there was no need. But just from the outside looking in, or an inch deep and a mile long, if you want to call it that, to me it looks like it's Trevor Lawrence and then everyone else. Even with Mac Jones, like I don't think that like Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields. I think that if you look at those four, you can put those four together, and you can make a case for each one. And I know this will surprise people because Mac Jones seems to be the punching bag for everyone, but I don't think that he is. Like I don't think that he's sort of getting rough treatment from everyone because everyone thinks it should be Trey Lance. Everyone thinks it should be Justin Fields, but I just don't see a big difference. Obviously, that could change depending on what happens, but in regards to this pick, I do think it is Mac Jones. And whether I agree with it or not, I think it's going to be Mac Jones.
Yes. So I will disagree with you to a certain extent on your analysis just there. Maybe right now there is not a big difference, but I think it's pretty easy to identify which of those four quarterbacks you mentioned has higher upside. I think we saw that in the past college football season with Zach Wilson. We know that what his potential can be. He has a very high ceiling. I think the same thing can be said about Trey Lance because of his athleticism and some of the things we saw him do two seasons ago in North Dakota. Whereas I do think a little of the Mac Jones criticism is unfair because I really don't see that big a difference between him and Tua as prospects. And I wasn't a huge fan of Tua coming out either. I don't really see anything that Tua does infinitely better than Mac Jones. So I don't think that the criticism that Mac gets is totally warranted. But I think the number one thing we've learned is how it pertains to quarterback prospects over the last 3 years, especially when you want to look back at even the 2018 class, is you should always draft for athleticism and upside. There are a lot of things that these guys can develop and learn at the NFL level, and I think guys like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson have shown you don't want to draft a guy just because you think he'll fit your system. You want to draft a guy on upside, especially that high in the draft, which is why I disagree with Mac Jones at number three. But listening to pretty much everything that's out there, some guys who are very well connected, Peter Schrager, Michael Lombardi, they all say it's Mac Jones. There are some reports that it's 80-20. I think Ian Rappaport had that report out. But then you listen to the press conference that Kyle Shanahan had yesterday or 2 days ago if you're listening on Wednesday.
It was pretty
hilarious. He was very defensive. And you can tell that it's because he hears all the criticisms of him wanting to trade up for a guy like Mac Jones. So yeah. I think it's going to be Mac Jones. We have Mac Jones at number three here in our mock draft.
And can I say one more thing about Kyle Shanahan?
Sure.
This could end up costing the 49ers everything. Like, this could cost Kyle Shanahan his job, and he could quite possibly never become a head coach again, right?
I don't know about that, but it could definitely cost him his job.
It will hurt his resume a lot. I mean, it will stain his whole reputation around the league if this doesn't work out. Especially if Jimmy G goes somewhere else and is able to play consistently good football. But my thing is, Kyle Shanahan, to me, has earned the benefit of the doubt.
I agree.
He is a great offensive mind. I put him up there with Sean McVay as the two best offensive minds. And Andy Reid is up there as well. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here. It's your system. I don't agree with that whole notion of, you know, you got to get the right guy for your system. I'm sort of with you. You want to get the guy with the upside. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt with Mac Jones.
Like, you can't tell me that within 1 year of sitting that Trey Lance could not learn your system. And if you're going to compare athleticism, I mean, it's no question who the more athletic quarterback prospect is with the higher upside. So you're right. He has earned the benefit of the doubt. Do I still disagree with him? Yes. But that is why Kyle Shanahan is a head coach, and I am sitting here with a microphone. So we'll see how it pans out. All right, let's move on to number four. A pick which I've done a lot of tweeting about because I have. And this is sort of what I mentioned before, using, you know, what you think will happen versus what should happen. Pick number three, what I think should happen, would be Trey Lance or Justin Fields. What will happen is Mac Jones. With this one, I have had conviction from the get-go. If the Atlanta Falcons use fourth overall on a fucking tight end. I do not care how good this tight end is. Okay? With Matt Ryan, who's, what, 36, going to be 37, and aging Julio Jones, a defense that was virtually non-existent last season, and a brand new general manager, Terry Fontenot.
Yeah, and head coach.
And a new head coach. If you tell me that this team is going to spend fourth overall on a tight end, it would be the most egregious waste of draft assets since the Giants took Saquon in 2018. I truly believe that. You, at this number four pick, either have to trade the fuck out to someone like Denver or the Patriots who need a quarterback, or you yourself take Trey Lance. And I truly believe, and the odds are starting to align on the betting sites with my view, that they will eventually do the smart thing, and that Trey Lance will go fourth overall. So that is my pick.
I'm going to have to disagree. I think I understand what you're saying, but I think Atlanta is looking
If you draft Kyle Pitts, you are opting to lose games 44-28 instead of 44-21. That is, in essence, what you're telling me you're okay with.
I don't agree with what they're doing. I'm with you. It's either quarterback or trade out, right? Like, the top four picks should be quarterbacks. I'm not disagreeing with you in that. I just think Atlanta is looking at it and saying, we got Matt Ryan on the books. We still think he can play. We hired this former offensive coordinator. We like his offense. He likes to run two tight end sets. Kyle Pitts is a sort of a game-changing player. I'm not going to use the other G word that gets thrown around all the time. Every year that G word gets thrown around. But I just think they go Kyle Pitts here. I think they bypass the quarterback. I don't think they get a significant offer to move back. And what made me even more convinced that this was happening is because they're planning on – I think they're going to trade Julio Jones. I think they're going to do it July 1st. Mm-hmm. And with that, I think Kyle Pitts is sort of the replacement to that. I could see a Ja'Marr Chase here even.
But then my counter to that would be, if you're going to get rid of that franchise cornerstone wide receiver, why not just tear it all down? Why not just draft Trey Lance and have him sit for a year?
I think that goes back to, I think, what they feel about Matt Ryan. I think they feel like Matt Ryan can still play at a high level. I think they feel like he can still be a 30-touchdown, 4,000 passing yards in a year type quarterback for the next 2 or 3 years. And I think that they're okay with that. And I think quite possibly Arthur Blank could be a little bit involved in that decision as well.
Which is why this is Giants written all over it. It could be.
The only way I sort of disagree is because I think Matt Ryan can still play. I just don't think that roster is fully there yet to compete. They have too many holes in their defense, and they do have bad contracts on there too. But I look at this man and I say, new GM, new head coach, they should be looking to tear it down and rebuild, but I just think they're going to double down on Matt Ryan, and I think they go Kyle Pitts here, man. I really do. I think Kyle
Pitts. All right, well, stupid is as stupid does. So how do you want to do this? Because if we're going to do all 32 teams, we're going to have our differences. I don't know if you've been tracking on the app. We could do it this way, where each of us give our take for a specific pick, and then we can post ours side by side on Twitter for the episode. You want to do that?
Well, let's just go 5 through 32 quickly. Like, who do you think 5 is going to be? Go ahead.
It's going to be Ja'Marr Chase, 100%.
Ja'Marr Chase. I think it should be Penei Sewell in the offensive line, but I'm with you. I think they're going Ja'Marr Chase.
I think it's very underrated, though. Like, they have I'm forgetting both their tackles' names. Jonah Williams and Riley Rafe. Yes.
Like, not enough.
Understood, not enough. But I think people are vastly overestimating Cincy's wide receiving group just because they had a couple guys last year that were mid to late round picks.
T. Higgins is supposed to be going to be their number one if they don't take Chase. But then they also have Boyd as well.
Yeah. I don't think that's enough. And with A.J. Green, you need a replacement. And to me, there's no better than Ja'Marr Chase. Right. And I truly think he will be the pick.
Number 6, Miami.
This will shock you.
Yes.
I have Waddle.
Really?
I have them going Waddle. I think that they really, really want that game changing. Okay, how about this? They're going to basically become Alabama NFL. I think that there is a good enough chance that they take Najee Harris later in the draft, and I think that they go for Waddle because they want that game-changing, game-breaking wide receiver. They have why am I forgetting their number one's name now?
DeVante Parker.
They have DeVante Parker, but they don't have that smaller speed guy who's going to average like 15 yards per catch. And I think that they could get that in Jalen Waddle. And I know that their offensive line is in a little bit of disarray right now. I think that Sewell is a possibility because I have Jamar Chase going five. But my pick right now is Jalen Waddle. I think that there are a number of teams that would try to trade up for him. I don't think that they'll get that opportunity. And one thing that I think a lot of people are disregarding, and I understand there's a premium on offensive linemen and cornerbacks, Daniel Jeremiah has said, and it is his belief, and it is the belief of other managers around the league, that all four tackles from last year grade higher than both Sewell and Slater. So, yes, you can take these guys in the top five or the top 10 based on need. I think the value for the playmakers in this draft is just better. So I have Waddle going six.
Seven, I think here, I'm sort of torn between Sewell and Waddle, but you've sort of convinced me to go Waddle. But I could definitely see Penny Sewell going there. Or even Rashawn Slater as well. Yeah, at six. Yeah. Seven, I think a quarterback is going here. I don't think it's going to be Detroit that's going to be taking the quarterback. I think they're going to trade out. I think possibly you could see Denver at nine, New England spot here. They could move up into seven to take a quarterback. But this is where I think it's going to be Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance is going to be the number seven pick in this draft. I just don't know which team it's going to be. I wouldn't rule out Washington either, although 19 to 7 is a big move. But I think quarterback goes here at seven.
Interesting. This is where I have – this is the Lions, yes? This is where I have Sewell going. Okay. And partially, he's gotten a lot of shit this offseason, but as an entertainer and when he's not trying to be the next hot take artist for ESPN, Dan Orlovsky does have some good insight. And as someone who was a quarterback for Detroit, he went on air today or yesterday and essentially begged them to start building the right way. Go build through the trenches. Do not get the flashy receivers. You need to build the not sexy positions. And he was lobbying for Sewell or Slater. And I think that Dan Campbell, huge football guy, right? This is not the guy that's going to want the flashy wide receiver or skill position player. This is a meat and potatoes type of guy. And I really think that they're going to go offensive line here.
I just think they're going to trade down. I think this is a trade down. I think there's going to be two quarterbacks there. I think one team is going to want to move up. But number eight, Carolina. This is where I think Sewell lands. Number eight in Carolina with Matt Rhule. They're trying to build that line. I think this is the spot for him. He can play guard and tackle. They got Anita at both those spots. So I think this is where Penny starts. Penny, sorry.
Yeah, so I think that the pick here is J.C. Horn. I think there have been reports today that they are in love with him. I have fallen in love with him over the last 2 weeks. He is just a baller. He's in your face. He's physical. And when you're comparing him to Surtain, I think the general consensus is that Surtain is more polished, more quote-unquote pro-ready, but that J.C. Horn has a much higher ceiling, is more athletic, and just has that dog mentality. I think that's something that Matt Rhule loves. I think he's going to go for it. If not, I think Slater is a great pick for them here. Like you said, they're trying to build the offensive line. But right now in the mock that I have, I have them going J.C. Horn.
Number nine, Denver. I'm going to go tackle again, man. Rashawn Slater. Garrett Bowles has sort of turned into a great left tackle. Now they shore up the right side. Denver could be in play for a quarterback. They could be a trade-back partner, but with somebody that wants to take Justin Fields. But I got Rashawn Slater here. Those two tackles go back to back.
So this is where I have Justin Fields going.
Denver is going to take a quarterback.
That's what I think.
Wow.
Yes. So, yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
All right. 10, the Dallas Cowboys, Patrick Surtain. I think they've liked him from the start. They have that other Alabama quarterback corner that they took last year in Diggs. I think Dallas needs defensive help. I don't want to hear about them trading up for Kyle Pitts. It doesn't make any sense. Their offense is not an issue for them. And I think Patrick Surtain lands here.
So this is where things get interesting in my mock, because unlike you, I do not have Pitts going to Atlanta. And I think Pitts falls right into their lap for the reasons I mentioned earlier. I think it's a huge waste of draft resources. I think that these teams higher up need wide receivers, not a tight end who can catch. And I have Kyle Pitts going to the Cowboys here. I know there's been a lot of talk. Jerry Jones specifically said today they're not going to waste resources to move up. And in my mock, they don't have to. Same thing that happened last year with CeeDee Lamb. It just sort of fell into their lap, and I think the same thing is very possible here. So now we're at 11. Let's just recap each of our mocks real quick. I'll go through mine. So I have Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, Jets, Zach Wilson, 3, San Francisco, Mac Jones. I have Trey Lance going to Atlanta at 4. Cincinnati at 5, I have Ja'Marr Chase. 6, Miami, Jalen Waddle. 7, Detroit, Penei Sewell. 8, Carolina, J.C. Horn. 9, Justin Fields, Denver. Number 10, Kyle Pitts, tight end, Florida.
Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, 1 and 2. Mac Jones at 3. Atlanta goes Kyle Pitts at 4. Cincinnati, Ja'Marr Chase, reunite with Joe Burrow at 5. Number 6, you talked me into it. I was on the Penei Sewell bandwagon here, but I think they do go receiver. They had that speed. Miami Dolphins get Jalen Waddle from Alabama. Number 7, it's Detroit, but I think this pick is going to be traded to a quarterback-needy team. Maybe Oakland. Don't sleep on Oakland moving up for a quarterback. But I think Trey Lance goes at 7. I think he's going to be a top 10 pick in this draft. Number 8, Matt Rhule, I think he goes Penei Sewell, shores up that offensive line for Sam Darnold and Christian McCaffrey. Number 9, back-to-back offensive tackles go here. Rashawn Slater goes to Denver. Number 10, the first defensive player comes off the board in Patrick Surtain, the second corner, Alabama. Number 11, Giants. Here we go on the clock, and I think this is all shaping up for them to take who I think is going to be one of the three or four highest rated players on their board. They get him at 11. It's going to be a quick one. I think they go Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith. He checks all their boxes. Got the Alabama connection with Joe Judge. I think Joe Judge probably knows more about him than any other coach in the NFL, given the Nick Saban connection. Maybe him and Belichick. Character, clean, produced at a high level at Alabama. Got leadership, Heisman Trophy winner. And I think that I envision Dave Gettleman sitting up at that podium and talking about how they just drafted a gold jacket player, in their opinion, Heisman Trophy winner. He touts that, and I think the Giants get Devonta Smith with the 11th pick and add to a very, very impressive offense that they've built this offseason.
We agree. I think Devonta Smith is the pick. He is a Heisman winner. Marvin Harrison, pro comp. He is going to be an elite player in the NFL. He dominated at the college level against the highest level of competition. I think that we've spoken about this ad nauseum over the last few years. There are just certain players that people like to overthink. Most of the time, it's at the quarterback position. In this draft, it's with Devonta Smith. I don't give a fuck about his 166-pound frame. I don't care that, he's going to be easy to jam at the line. No, I don't care. He was an elite playmaker at the college level. These type of receivers are often very safe. And if you...
His route running is impeccable.
It's
his route running compares to Odell Beckham.
There you go. Okay. And outside of that, he's great at finding soft coverage in zone. He's just it. He's a playmaker. And we're not talking about a guy who's got repeated concussions or is just constantly banged up. Like, no, the dude is taking hits from other guys who are going to be professional football players. He's taking hits from big dudes in college, and he is fine. All right, I'm not at all concerned about his frame. And another thing, I don't think that he's a guy that's going to come into the league and put on 20 pounds of muscle. That's just not his frame. He's basically football Brandon Ingram. Some guys were just not meant to carry that weight on him, and that is totally fine. Fans should not freak out about it. I think he's going to be a very, very good player in the NFL. The Giants are going to be lucky to have him. And if you add him to that offensive group of playmakers, so to speak,
just, I mean, look at what they're getting.
Just on paper.
From last year to this
just
year.
Just on paper. Kenny Galladay, yeah. Devontae Smith, Sterling Shepard, Saquon Barkley, Evan Engram, Darius Slayton.
Yeah. And Kyle Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph. Like, yeah. There aren't many groups in the NFL that have playmaker, a group like that. Like, that is a top on paper, okay? And I'm saying on paper because we're talking about a Jason Garrett offense and a quarterback that just came off of 10 fucking touchdowns. On paper, that is a top five group in the NFL that if you asked any other fan base, they would say, fuck yeah, I would take that in a second, okay? I understand that there's the need to fortify the offensive line. I've been banging that drum all offseason. I'll keep banging it during the draft. The Giants have more than just the 11th overall pick because Matt Peart is not proven. Thomas, he has shaky rookie season. They just got rid of arguably their best offensive guard, right? There's still plenty of holes. I don't doubt that at all. I agree with that. The team seems very confident in Thomas and Peart. I think that they'll continue to add depth. I think there are plenty of great options for them to fortify the offensive line in the second and third round. So I'm not worried about it yet. At 11, I think it's Devontae Smith. I think you're getting, again, we throw the term generational around. He's not generational, but he's a very good wide receiver, and fans should be thrilled.
Yeah, I think this will be a home run pick for the Giants. I actually think Devonta Smith is the best receiver in the draft. I put him ahead of Ja'Marr Chase, and I love Ja'Marr Chase as well, but I just think the number one thing about a receiver, not speed, not size to me, is route running. When you can come out of college with that route tree, that polished of a route tree, I mean, that's he's awesome, man. I think he'll be great for the Giants. I'll jump for joy if he's the pick at number 11.
There you go.
But moving on, the Eagles, number 12, sort of a weird, they're sitting at number 12, and I think this is where the first pass rusher comes off the board. Not J.C. Horn. Okay. I know you got J.C. Horn.
Well, I got Patrick Surtain to them, so that same difference. Yeah,
I got Kwity Paye. I think the Eagles are looking to add a pass rusher. I read that they really, really like Kwity Paye. He could be a trade-down target for them, but in the case of this draft, I think he goes number 12 to the Philadelphia Eagles. That's why I think they go at 12.
So I have Surtain going to the Eagles, followed by Micah Parsons going to the Chargers.
I got J.C. Horn landing 13 with the L.A. Chargers. Okay. 14, Minnesota. I do think that they look to shore up the offensive line.
AVT?
Christian
Davis, okay.
The offensive tackle from Virginia Tech, yeah.
I got AVT going 14 in Minnesota.
15, New England, Justin Fields. Whether they trade up for him or they wait at 15, I think Justin Fields is the guy.
I actually made a mistake. I'm going to have to fix this because this is like a contest, but for some reason this got switched around. So I actually have Slater going to the Chargers, AVT going to Minnesota, and New England I have taking Micah Parsons.
Okay, so okay. I got Kwity Paye Eagles, J.C. Horn Chargers, Christian Darrisaw to the Vikings, Justin Fields to the New England Patriots, and number 16, I believe this is where you will see Jeremiah Owusu-Koromoa, the linebacker from Notre Dame. I think the Cardinals look to add a pass rusher here. They lost Hassan Reddick, so I got this linebacker from Notre Dame here.
Okay. I got Caleb Fairley going 16.
All right, number 17, I got Micah Parsons. He's he's a Las Vegas Raider to me. he's just a Las Vegas Raider to me. I think this is a guy that Gruden is going to love. We've seen them take players with these type of personalities in the past. I think this is a top 10 talent, but a lot of character concerns there. I think he goes 17 to the Oakland Raiders.
Okay. I have Jalen Phillips going to Vegas at 17. I think they need a pass rusher. And then back-to-back for the Dolphins, I got Gregory Rousseau. So Miami, staying in Miami. And then 19, 20, I'll just rattle them off before you go.
Yeah.
For Washington, I think this is another one that might have gotten swapped around, but I'll just roll with it. I got Rashad Bateman to Washington. And at number 20, Christian Darrisaw to Chicago.
17, I got, this is where Elijah Vera Tucker comes from USC, the guard. 19, Washington. This was tough, but I'm actually think they take Hyman Davis, the linebacker from Kentucky, to continue to build that offense. I could see him go Samuel Cosmi here, the tackle, but I think this is where the Kentucky linebacker goes. And number 20 for the Chicago Bears. This was tough for me because I think the Bears could be a team that looks to move up for a quarterback, but I think they stay at number 20. They actually lost Fuller in free agency, so I'm going to go Greg Newsome the second, the cornerback out of Northwestern, goes to the Chicago Bears.
Okay. 21, I've got Owusu. 22, Tennessee, Kwity Paye. 23 is a real run on pass rushers here. 23 for the Jets, Joe Tryon. At 24, Najee Harris. I know it's a very cliche pick. And then Jacksonville, Trayvon Morig.
Okay. I got 21. I got Azeez Ojulari to the Colts. I think they're looking for pass rushing help. 22, the Titans. I'm going to go with Samuel Cosmi, the offensive tackle from Texas. They drafted a tackle last year from Georgia, Isaiah Wilson. That didn't work
out. That did not work out.
So they're looking, no, so they're looking for a right tackle. And number 23, the Jets. I love this pick for them, especially because they took a quarterback early on. Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota. I think they get the receiver here. Great value. 24, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Najee Harris, man, this is where I think he's going to go. This is where he's been linked to. So I'm going to go Najee Harris right here. And then 25, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think they add an interior defensive lineman and Christian Barmore from Alabama.
All right. And then let's just finish this off here. So 26, Cleveland. Got Zaven Collins, Tulsa, Baltimore. I think it's almost a lock. They go receiver. I got Terrence Marshall, good contested catch wide receiver. 28, New Orleans, Azeez Ojulari. 29, Green Bay, another wide receiver, Kadarius Toney. Buffalo, another very cliche pick, Travis Etienne. 31, Baltimore, Jalen Mayfield. I think they need some offensive line help after they just traded Orlando Brown. And then Tampa, 32, Christian Barmore.
Okay, I'll go down the board. 26, I might wish you, Zaven Collins.
There we go, we agree.
Cleveland. 27, I don't think they go receiver because I don't think there's going to be one there for them to take, but I got them taking Jason Ahuwe, pass rusher from Penn State. And 28, Caleb Farrelly, your guy, goes to New Orleans. 29, this is going to be a surprise, but I think Terrace Marshall Jr. goes to Green Bay. They have to help Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And 30, this is where Travis Etienne goes. I think Buffalo's looking for a running back, looking for some running back help. I think this is where he goes. Baltimore at 30, at 31. I don't think they stay there. I think this could be a trade-in for somebody, and I think someone's going to trade back into the first round. I think Gregory Rousseau goes here to 31, and then the first half or the first round closes out with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking a corner, Ifedi Melifonwu from Syracuse.
All right, and that's it.
That is my full result of the mock draft that we just did.
Perfect.
And the one thing you and I both agree on is there's going to be a lot of talent heading into day two.
Yes.
For the New York Giants.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Now that the mock is done, we've given our Giants pick. We both agree. What should we do? Where are we heading next?
I guess we answer some questions, right?
We could. We could do some betting picks.
Okay, let's do some betting picks.
Do you remember a couple years ago we had Elliot Crist on the podcast? Do you remember Elliot?
Yes.
So Elliot has, I guess it's his own website. He's the chief operating officer of FTN Network. They have been absolutely crushing the draft coverage. I recommend you follow him. And he's just like hunting lines, man. Like every day he is on like every legal sports book looking at what lines are being put out there. And here's a very good draft gambling asset that he provided to me. NFL mock draft database.com. Very original name, I know. They essentially scrape the internet for every single mock draft, and you can see per team what percentage of mocks have specific players going to a team. So, for example, if you go to teams and click on the Giants, you could see that 41% of mocks have Devontae Smith going to the Giants, right? So a good resource if you're looking for betting value. So, Weiss, I'm going to just, without any sort of preparation, I'll go through my list, and I'll give you the date that I got some of these, and I want to know what your thoughts are. And a lot of these aren't going to be available. Some of them I even lost value on. Some of them I gained value on. But we'll go through. So I think that as it pertains to the draft, there is a lot of value if you want to drink the juice, so to speak, for a lot of props that are virtual locks. Now, I know there's always going to be some variance, but for instance, I bet Jamar Chase to be the first wide receiver off the board at both minus 400 and minus 500 on April 14th. He is now anywhere from minus 800 to minus 1200 to be the first wide receiver off the board. I think it is pretty much the consensus that if the Bengals pass on him for some reason, the Dolphins take him, and that he will undoubtedly be the first receiver off the board. Agree or disagree?
Jamar Chase, first receiver off the board? Yep. Agree.
Another juicy one that I also took on April 14th. I got this one on MGM. Under 5.5 quarterbacks in round one, minus 450. I don't see any way that another quarterback goes round one. I don't think, even someone like Kyle Trask, I don't see it. I think five is the number, and it'll be another couple rounds before we see the next quarterback fall. So under 5.5, agree or disagree?
I agree, all five right. Quarterbacks.
This is one I got on April 14th as well. Penei Sewell over 5.5. And again, that really ties into Jamar Chase to the Bengals, whether or not that transpires. I got that minus 125.
I agree with you.
Okay.
I think Penei Sewell is going to be picked in the back half.
There you go.
The top 10.
This one is probably my personal favorite on the board. And I got it at plus 1,000, and I believe it's all the way down to plus 350 right now. First defensive player off the board, J.C. Horn. Plus 1,000. I get it. I think that Surtain is more polished. He has the chance to go before him in terms of value, and the reports that teams like the Carolina Panthers value him over Surtain, I think that's insane value.
That is very good value.
Okay.
That is very good value. Yeah, I'll give it to you on that one.
All right. I'll rattle off a couple more over-unders before I go into some of the fun ones that I put in. I have Jamar Chase under 6.5 from April 15th, minus 145. I have over 6.5 offensive linemen in round one. I think that's sort of like a meat and potatoes position. I think that there are six that I can easily see going in the first, and then you're into both the Alabama players, Mayfield, those type of guys going late first, I could see. So I like over 6.5. Of course, I have Devontae Smith under 11.5 because I think he goes to the Giants. I threw a dart at this one. I probably just lit money on fire. The New York Giants to draft Jalen Phillips in the very, very odd event that Dave Gettleman decides this is the year he wants to trade back. I think it's to target a pass rusher, and I think that they value him the most. With that, I have
I would not use a first round pick on Jalen Phillips, by the way.
I would if you were to recoup assets.
Even if I move back, I just can't. There's too much there. Same thing with Micah Parsons. I mean, I would have to go back, you know, 15, 16, 17. It's just tough. These guys with these character concerns, man, it's, we always say, you know, don't overthink it with when it comes to these issues they have, but when it's something that much,
I think you just strictly Phillips, based on the raw too, talent, someone's going to go for him, because I also have under 21.5. I think Najee Harris is the first running back off the board. I got that at minus 210. I think there's actually some better value on that now. I also have him under 32.5, minus 190. I think he goes in the first. All right, here's where we start to have a little bit fun. I love these props because if you use a little bit of common sense here, you can get great value, and that is to pick the position that a team drafts. So I have Tennessee to draft defensive line as their first pick, plus 800. That line is now plus 500, so I got some value there. That defense was 31st in pass rush rate in 2020. They just lost Clowney. I think that they look at some of the pass rushers late in the first round to get some production there. I put money on that. I think it's good value. Cleveland to draft a linebacker first. That one was plus 200, and that's something that we actually agreed on, I believe, based on our mock drafts. I think we both had them taking Zaven Collins. And if you use the website that I mentioned before, he is the most consistently mocked player to Cleveland at 26 in the draft. I think Dallas drafts a cornerback. That's minus 125. A little bit of a chalky pick there. Jaylen Waddle under 11.5. I think that's now 10.5. And then, okay, here's one. This is the last one I'll give out, and just because I think it's a little fun. I bet the exact order of the running backs to go off the board. I bet Jalen Harris, then Devontae Williams, then Travis Etienne, plus 2,900. I think it's possible. I thought it was worth a dart, so I put some money on that.
Not bad. Not bad. I think you're setting yourself up to
I hope so, because I have 50 fucking picks on this list, so I hope I didn't put anyone to sleep. If you're interested, I'll share it with you. I'm not going to tweet it out, but shoot me a DM. Happy to share some of my bets and the date, so on and so forth. All right, let's do some Twitter questions. Do you have those pulled up?
Sure. Yes. Here we go. We'll start with Mike underscore NYY. Mike. Let's say this is the hypothetical. Let's say this is the list of who's available at 11 when the Giants are on the clock. Devontae Smith, Jaylen Waddle, Micah Parsons, Elijah Vera Tucker, J.C. Horn, Quinty Pierre, other. For the sake of this question, let's take Devontae out of it, and let's say it's just Jaylen Waddle, Micah Parsons, Elijah Vera Tucker, J.C. Horn, Quinty Pierre, or the field. Who are you taking?
It's going to upset a lot of people, but if you're taking Devontae Smith out of it, I'm taking J.C. Horn if he's available.
I'm taking Jaylen Waddle. I think receiver is a need. People are not thinking about it enough. I think Sterling Shepard, this could be his last year, but injuries have plagued him the last couple of years. Same thing with Galladay. I love the Galladay signing, but he was injured last year for the majority of the season.
I love Jaylen Waddle. That would be my pick in a vacuum. Unfortunately, we're living in a world where Jason Garrett is the offensive coordinator, and I just know that he is going to misuse a player of Jaylen Waddle's caliber, which is why he's not my pick. I also just don't think he's going to be available at 11.5 personally. But I do like him more than Devontae in a vacuum. Waddle was one of my favorite college players the last two seasons.
Wow. Interesting. This is interesting. So JPal319 says, if we take a cornerback, how long until Gettleman gets doxed? I don't understand that. I think cornerback, there are two really, really good corners in this draft. Either one could end up being the best player in the draft. Taking one would actually be not a bad thing. It would actually be a pretty good thing.
We talk about it all the time. The way you win in the NFL, you pass the ball and you stop the pass. And
guess what? Majority of the sacks in today's NFL come from coverage, good coverage.
And it worked for the Giants last year until James Bradbury went down. And then you saw that they struggled to maintain that coverage. And you can never have too many good players at one position. And you just look at the Giants' thought process. Like I said, you win in the NFL by passing the ball. They went out, they got Galladay. Devontae Smith is the most prominently mocked player to them at 11. They went out there and got Kyle Rudolph. And if they went out there, they got a Dorie Jackson. And if they get someone like Surtain, J.C. Horn, they're just further fortifying that position, and they could set themselves up to have a very dominant defense. So in a free agency that just didn't really have too many premier pass rushers available, in a draft in which most of these pass rushers are projected to go mid to late first, I don't see any problem with this being the route that they take. And a lot of people would be upset about it because, oh, we have Bradberry. Oh, why did we sign a Dorie Jackson? So what? Dominate that position.
Yeah. Also, you only have James Bradberry under contract for another 2 years. You have a rookie corner under contract for 5 years. If a corner is a better prospect than a pass rusher, you don't reach for need. I don't know how many times you got to, you scout the player, not the position. Speaking of pass rushers, his name is FOH on Twitter, at YAMO the Smuff. All right.
Okay.
Rank the pass rushers, and I'll quickly run mine off the board. Kwadipaye, number one, most clean pass rusher in this draft, I think. Number two, Jalen Phillips. I know I said I wouldn't take him at 11, but I think he has the highest ceiling of all the pass rushers. Number three, Jason Owuwe from Penn State. Number four, Azeez Ojulari. And number five, Gregory Rousseau. He really has fallen this last month. He's gone from being in the conversation at number 11 to now potentially being available at 42 when the Giants are picking. But that's my top five.
Yeah, I don't have a top five, but I will tell you my top two. It's Jalen Phillips and then Kwadipaye. I really just – you watch Jalen Phillips tape, and it's really something to behold. And if – The Giants were to do their due diligence and say, you know what, we sign off on this guy's medical, sure.
It's just tough, man. There's a lot there. He's retired one time. I
know.
Like him.
I'm not without the concerns. I'm just saying I'm not the one in the interview room. I'm not the doctor. If a team clears him, I got to say, just based on the film, he's a tremendous player.
Realistically, this is from Marco Sperato 16. I'm going to change up this question a little bit, but who are the one or two prospects or three prospects that will make you scream if the Giants draft them? Realistically, obviously, taking out Pitts and taking out Chase and taking out I'll even keep Penny Sewell in there, but taking out Trevor Lawrence or any other quarterbacks.
Would make me scream? Any pass rusher without a trade back.
I think this is a scream for excitement.
Oh, a scream for excitement.
Let's do scream for excitement and then just scream out of anger.
Okay, well, out of anger, you have my answer.
The pass rusher.
Scream out of excitement. Scream out of excitement. J.C. Horn, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Rashawn Slater.
Penny Sewell. That's about it.
I think that's the list.
Yeah. Me, I'm cool with the two corners if they take them. I'm not going to scream. I'll be like, okay, I like it. Andrew Thomas made me scream last year. Any of these two tackles make me scream. Any of the two Alabama receivers will make me scream. So a lot of things will make me scream. Anger, I'm with you. Pass rusher at 11. I just would not like it. There's so much better value there, especially with all these quarterbacks going. I would not like pass rusher at 11. Let's say this is from Belmont Bound. Let's say they are going wide receiver and O-line for the first two rounds. What positions makes more sense to get the better player at, or would you be solid either way? So if they go Devontae Smith, who is somebody, an offensive lineman in the later rounds, let's call it the second, that you like? I like Landon Dickinson, the other offensive lineman.
Yeah, so, I was going to list him as well.
Yeah, I like
Dickerson, Humphrey, Leatherwood.
Ben Cleveland, the guard from Georgia. I like him.
Yep.
So, really, there's a lot of good interior guys in the later rounds. Tackles, not so much, but I do like some of the interior guys. Trying to see. A lot of these questions we've already answered.
Yeah.
We did the mock draft. That we pretty much answered everyone's question right there.
Good.
In the mock draft, yeah.
Okay, so we'll wrap it up then.
We will wrap it up.
Any final thoughts?
I'm ready for the draft, man. This is one draft that
me too.
Last year, they couldn't piss me off at four because I knew it was going to be offensive linemen all the way. This year, it's really going to be hard for them to make me angry. I'm excited. I'm crossing my fingers. I put out my big board, realistic big board. You can check it out on my Twitter page. But we did our mock. We're releasing with the episode to tomorrow. And NFL draft, man, one day away.
It's here.
Fun. It's here.
It's going to be fun. Yes. All right. Take care of the housekeeping as we wrap up. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYGDaily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. And we will talk to you guys on Twitter. Let's go.
Let's do it.